It's well known that China has grown into an economic force for America and the world to contend with. They've done this mainly via products that are made available directly to consumers. But as my next guest has written about, China has also grown into the leading supplier of what are known as essential minerals. These are elements which go into the creation of things like semiconductors, military ammo, a lot more than that. The concern is now that China is making moves to restrict the availability of these essential minerals. Here to discuss this is industry analyst with the Coalition for a Prosperous America. He's also former staff foreign correspondent for the Wall Street Journal and a senior contributor to Forbes covering China now since 2011. Kenneth Raposa, thanks for being here today, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chris.
And to find out more about the Coalition for a Prosperous America, prosperousamerica.org, that's also where you can read Kenneth's writings, including this regarding essential minerals in China. So what is behind this restriction? Because you would think, okay, I have most of everything of one particular element, which China does in this case. We'll get to the stats in a moment. So what is possession to say, well, I'm going to let less people have more of what I've got?
Well, we never really are going to know exactly why China does something, right? So we could say two things. We could say, one, this particular mineral, which is called antimony, which I'm not expecting anyone to know about. I never even heard about it until I started to look into this myself, is used to make microchips, is used to make ammunition, okay? Well, China right now is building up its own homegrown semiconductor industry now that we have more restrictions on what our companies here can export to China. So China's ramping up its microchip, its semiconductor industry. So we could say maybe they need that mineral for their homegrown industry. That's a possibility. Another is they're saying to their government might be saying, in addition to what I just told you, Chris, the United States needs ammo to support Ukraine, let's say. We're not for this. We're not for the continuing war in Ukraine. We don't like this idea. We want to put some pressure on this war. We want to see this war come to an end. Maybe you could say, we want Russians to win. Whatever it is, we're not going to ship this mineral, so that way the United States has a tougher time getting it to make ammunition that they're eventually going to sell to Ukraine. So maybe it's one of those two things. Maybe it's both of those things. But whatever it is, I would say it's one of those two, maybe both, that China has access to this mineral. They're a big supplier of it, and it's not going to be exported to the United States in a refined form anytime soon.
The latter sounds actually more likely only because while the China economy is growing, their rate of growth has decreased. So for them to, again, make the restoration of the growth that they were hoping for or planning for counting on possible, this certainly sounds like it would run counter to that priority.
Well, look, China's rate of growth has decreased because what China has been trying to do for many years, at least as long as I've been covering it, is to put a chokehold on the growth of the real estate market, right? Because China real estate market is a bridges to nowhere story. I've been to China and I've seen empty apartment buildings just built, no one living there, no one in the parking lot, no teenagers putting stickers on the surfboard stickers on the windows, overlooking the Yellow Sea. No, none of that. They're just empty buildings. Maybe someone owns them, but no one lives in them. So China has been putting the screws to this market. And again, that's a big market, right? That's a market that requires companies to buy steel rebar. So it's a big business. It's a big market for the steel industry there. It's a big market for construction workers, which is big for the migrant workers that move into cities and live in dormitories and sleep in twin beds and hammocks that are, mixing cement and building these towers, right? So that market has slowed down, and that has hurt China. And, of course, let's not forget as well that we have trade restrictions and tariffs on China, so a lot of the mainland Chinese companies that used to make widgets for the United States are no longer making them in mainland China. They've shifted a lot of that production to Southeast Asia, so those workers, again, don't have those jobs. So that China's dealing with what America has dealt with for years, the outsourcing of manufacturing. So that has all those two things alone have really slowed the Chinese economy.
Now, Kenneth mentioned about the upcoming restrictions on the export of antimony. This is not the first move like this by China. Just about a year ago, didn't they do the same with graphite?
Absolutely. And again, they do those things because either to irk the West, right, to irk the United States, tick them off, or because they need it, because graphite is used as a mineral to make EV batteries. And, of course, China is the biggest EV battery producer in the world and the biggest EV market. in the world. So, you know, we could say, hey, they need it for themselves, right? And, you know, let's put playing devil's advocate here, right? China, again, can say we need it for themselves. We're not going to export it. India has done the same thing during COVID, for example. There were certain medication. India is a huge generic drug exporter and a big supplier to the United States. And many times India said during COVID, hey, this particular drug, I can't think of what it was off the top of my head, we can't export it because we need it here. That's just the story. So if you need it in Brazil or if you need it in New York City, you're not getting it. We're keeping it for our people. So other countries have done this. China is notorious for doing this, and we could argue that China does it for political reasons more so than to, you know, serve its own national demand. But it tells the story of, when it comes to things like antimony or any other minerals, of that the United States not only does not want to dig things out of the ground, it takes decades to get mining permits, right, to turn mountains into, you know, crushing mountains and getting rock out of that stuff. But we also don't process it. We also don't have the processing facility here that turn that raw material into the chemicals we need to make batteries, or to make EV batteries, for example, that turn it into powder. So you don't have that. So it's one thing to pull it out of the ground, which is a messy business. That's one thing. But you don't even have a United States industry that could take that nickel, take that cobalt, let's say, right, take that antimony and turn it into this little powder that's unrecognizable from what it looked like when it came out of the ground, totally unrecognizable. Turn it into that powder that's then used to make a metal sheet, to make whatever it is they're going to make with that product. So we don't have that. So regardless of us not having the mineral that China's saying, hey, we need it, you're not getting it, that's one thing. But we don't, even if we can say, well, we'll just get it from Australia, we'll get it from Chile, you know, we can't just import that stuff, that raw material, and process it here, because we don't have that set up. We're not set up to do that. A lot of people want to change that and make it happen. That's going to take years. But for years, the United States has said, because the EPA, you know, the environmental regulations, that we don't want to do it. It's a dirty job. And we'll let China do it. We'll let the Asians do it. And they've done it, and they control the market. And now when we need it, we don't have access to it.
Dr. Kenneth Raposa, who is industry analyst with the Coalition for Prosperous America, former staff foreign correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, and a senior contributor to Forbes covering China since 2011, prosperousamerica.org, the website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So with what you said in mind and looking at the wall that the U.S. is facing, because you mentioned that there are countries like Australia, Thailand, for example, but they're in their infancy of processing and mining for these essential minerals. You can have legislation to change things around, to put policies in place. As you said, starting up a mine could take up to 30 years before what you get into can come out and be of any kind of use. So what options exist for the U.S. right now?
Well, some of the options that exist would be to lessen environmental regulations, right, and to create some sort of, you know, tax incentives. And all these mining associations have their own little, you know, 10-point bullet plan of what the government needs to do. And one of them is, of course, making it so that permits happen faster and don't take forever. Reauthorize permits that were approved of things like nickel mines and other mines that have been put on hold for whatever reason. And a lot of the reasons might seem legit to you and your listeners, right, Chris? It's like, let's say there's a mine 80 miles from your house, and that mine is going to put a lot of dust and a lot of rock in water, right, in residue from the mining that's going to feed into your drinking water supply. Somebody has to figure that out. So that process is really what slows things down. You think China is worried about that? You think India is looking at that stuff? No. Not to the extent that we are surely looking at it, right? And, of course, we're a more litigious society, so we'll have law firms that'll say, hey, you know, so-and-so, little Johnny suffered from this, and so we're going to sue you for $10 billion. So that doesn't exist in China. That slows the process down. So these are the things that the mining association want to change: better, faster environmental regulations to get these things approved, and things like tax incentive that say if you're building a processing company, a company that takes that rock, imagine, takes the minerals, crushes it into a powder or a liquid that we're going to use to make a Duracell battery or an EV battery that powers your Tesla, those companies need to say, hey, if we need legislation that says something like, okay, I'm going to invest $100 million or $80 million to upgrade this plant, to build a new one from scratch. I don't, you know, what can you give me in return on the tax side? So those are the things that they would say that they need. Off the top of my head would be two bullet points that they would say they need to be done for you to make mining and processing of those minerals an endeavor that you can successfully do here in the United States, as opposed to just saying we're going to have to import it because the environmental regulations are certainly cheaper and certainly easier in China and Asia in general. And you know, the minerals are there. They're pulling them out of the ground at a faster rate than we are here in the United States.
And we have to wrap up here, but you can also look forward to say, is this going to be any kind of influence with how America continues to protect and enable Taiwan to stay independent from China? Because sooner versus later, China is probably going to make a move on that part of the territory as well. As they say, worth watching and to be continued. And to learn more about this and other issues that Ken writes about regarding China and other important topics such you might not hear elsewhere, but he presents it in truth and facts in an educational way that you will easily absorb. Website for the Coalition for a Prosperous America, prosperousamerica.org. He is an industry analyst, former staff foreign correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, senior contributor to Forbes covering China since 2011. Kenneth Raposa, thanks for the awareness you bring to an important issue with terrible, long-lasting threats and effects, and hopefully they'll find solutions based upon what you discover and inspire others to follow suit by demanding something be done. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Chris. Have a good afternoon and good weekend.